as we look through the window of baseball for Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. And that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. You were pretty good yesterday in predicting the outcome of yesterday's game.
Yep, I got lucky yesterday. I'm on a roll, so maybe I'll stop there.
But it just shows you, you know, it's a baseball game. And you get a couple of hits, and Nunez whacks a couple off the wall, and Strasburg starts sweating, and the next thing you know, he's out of the game, and you win.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so many things happen that you wouldn't have expected. I mean, you see a guy foul a ball hard off his face. I mean, what are the odds of that coming right off the plate and right back into your cheek, you know, near your eye, actually, with Pence? But, you know, Kane was terrific. Nunez was great. They look like the Giants. Belt hit third and did well. So, I mean, it's just, you know, the thing about it is if you really have faith in the guys that have a track record, there's just no point in being, you know, eternally cynical about a loss or a stretch of losses, because baseball is going to straighten things out. The track records are going to come into play. Guys are going to play to their character, and we saw a little bit of that yesterday.
Bruce, pitching for me, and you know, I harp on pitching so much, but they've played 20 games since the break. They've had four quality starts. Last night for me, even though it was five innings, that is a quality start. And when you can pitch like that, you keep your team in the game. And when you have a good defensive team and a team that can get things done, you win games. And that's how they won all these games.
Yeah, well, that looked a lot like Kane, you know, the vintage Kane last night. I mean, he blows a fastball by Worth, a high fastball for a swing, strike three. He owned Harper with the breaking ball. And I really liked it in the fourth. He's got a 2-0 lead, and Murphy's leading off. And the count goes to 2-0, and you're thinking, oh, God, here we go. And then he had enough confidence to throw a curveball right there, and Murphy went for it and grounded out,
Yeah. Which
is just a great – and he got in a little bit of trouble later in the inning, but the curveball got him two more ground outs to end the inning. So, you know, that between spotting the fastball pretty well, that was really encouraging.
Yeah, very good point. I saw that Murphy was on his front foot. That was a great pitch that he threw to him. What about Pence, though? He looked – now, I'll give you a name from the past. How about Carmen Basilio or Gene Fulmer?
Exactly.
I'm telling Bruce, it looked like the Friday night Gillette fights for me. You know, the last time I saw a guy get a shiner like that right in front of me, and it was amazing, and he stayed in the game.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised he stayed in. I mean, it was just, you know, didn't get him square in the eye. It hurt like hell. But, you know, he's Hunter Pence, and I think most of the guys in the Giants would have hung in there and stayed in that game, which is great.
Well, he said if panic stayed in after he got hit in the head, he says, I'm not coming out. And it's a sign of the toughness of what he brings to the team. I think it's amazing. All right, well, A-Rod, in the news this morning, and you probably saw the little press conference he had. So Friday will be his last game. And coincidentally, we just had Matt Duffy on, and he will be there with Tampa next Friday for A-Rod's last game. He'll be playing short. Maybe he'll throw A-Rod out. But A-Rod's last game next Friday, he becomes a very highly paid advisor to the Yankees until his contract runs out. I guess that's the end of the A-Rod story, and now it just takes history to figure out how to deal with him.
Yeah, what does he have, 696 home runs?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think, you know, right now there's a lot of, you know, it's not gaining really that much attention. People are kind of shrugging their shoulders, whatever. But, you know, as time goes on and people look back on his career, especially the first, you know, the large part of it, the early and middle part of it, was really phenomenal. I mean, you know, he gets denigrated for using performance-enhancing drugs, and that's tired old story. But the fact is, this is one of the greatest players ever to come on the scene. Obvious to me, an obvious Hall of Famer. I mean, 696 homers. You know, you don't do that with pills and injections. You just don't. I mean, and he was a phenomenal shortstop, in the Jeter and Nomar era, and really just a great, great player. It ends a little bit of sadness because, you know, the New York press and media have been on him for years, really. I mean, he had some bad postseasons, and it's kind of grinding to a halt there. But, you know, in time, I still think that Bonds and Clemens and these guys are going to get in the hall, and A-Rod's going to join him, and hopefully he'll be alive at the time.
Yeah, it just takes, you know, the hall has a way of doing that, waiting until you're gone. And
yeah.
Then saying, okay, now we'll let you in, which is kind of bizarre, really. But time will tell. And I just think as we go through different eras of technology and the millennials and whatever we're going through as a country, as we change all the time, attitudes will change. And
yes.
I think attitudes towards the Hall of Fame will change. And I think you say it always so well, and we always get caught up in the morals clause and all that. But if you look at these players, these were Hall of Fame players. They were Hall of Fame players. There's just no, what do you say, A-Rod's not a Hall of Fame player?
I know, that's ridiculous.
I mean, but he has the other side of it, and that's where we get caught up with this whole Hall of Fame thing, which I think over time will get straightened out. I really do. Hey, the Cubs were 6-15. They're now 15-6. Phil Rogers wrote it again. They're in. They're counting the magic number down. But it just shows you in this season of a great team of the Cubs how you can go like that, like the Giants have gone like that, and all of a sudden, like Belt says, once the pitching kicks in and we're a train going down the track again, and that's what's got to happen.
Yeah, they're 10.5 games up now. The Cardinals just don't look good. They're not consistent at all. The Pirates actually they're 12.5 back. So I mean that race is pretty much over. You know, unfortunately for my money, I mean I saw it being a lot closer than that at the start of the season. But the Cubs, they're young. They hit for power. They've got great pitching. Now they got Chapman. I love Joe Maddon. They played Wrigley Field. What a great package. I just hope they. You know, I hope they're hot at the end of the season, which is that's what always matters. That's why the Giants won 3 titles, because they were just at their very, very best in September into October. So I hope that happens with the Cubs.
Well, they've got Kyle Hendricks going today, and if you look for their best pitcher right now, it's this guy, and they can't figure out if he'll even pitch in the playoffs because they're so wedded to Arrieta, Lester, and probably John Lackey. So that's a story that we're going to see. Giancarlo Stanton almost hit one out of the park last night in Coors Field. 504 feet. How about that?
And it was pretty much a line drive.
Well, that's what, you know, Rich Walsh was on with us yesterday, and he said what they did with his swing, they said just hit line drives. Don't lift the ball anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. So it was a line drive shot?
Well, pretty much. I mean, it wasn't a 2-iron, but it was certain, definitely not a towering thing. It was just a bullet, kind of like the ball Williamson hit in Pittsburgh. It just got out there so fast. Judging from where it landed, it didn't look like it was to me the longest shot of the year in the big leagues. But I mean, who knows how these things are measured? It was a bomb, and he'll hit many more. But yeah, it's with that guy especially to have a line drive stroke. It's like Henry Aaron. You know, a lot of them are going to go out. Just with that good backspin, they're gonna sail out of there. So, go ahead.
Yeah, we get to see him this week, and then on the other side of the coin, the little guy. It's a little tapper to third. Arenado can't throw him out, and there's as much excitement as Stanton had. The little dribbler to third, 2,999 for Ichiro. How about that? How about the juxtaposition of parts of a game?
Yeah, Ichiro hits the ball about 85 feet. I hope Ichiro's 3,000th is a homer, and have him round the bases with 3,000. That would be a beautiful thing.
Wouldn't that? Yeah, Wade Boggs did it. I think a couple of people.
Yes. A couple guys did. Yeah. It's. I hope he doesn't get it today. I'd like to see it happen against the Giants.
Yeah, me too. I really, and I think everyone with the Giants would like to see that as well.
Yeah.
So we'll be watching John Gray, the right-hander for Colorado today. They said maybe Ichiro would start today, but you know, just to go back a little bit of baseball history, when Stan Musial got his 3,000th hit, they were waiting for him to go to St. Louis to get it at home. And they needed him in the 6th inning against the Cubs and Mo Drabowski. And they put him in and he got a double. And everyone in St. Louis was upset about it, you know, because they wanted to see it at home. And I guess for Ichiro, I love the signs and the excitement. It looks almost like a Japanese game, because people got into it with colorful things. I like it.
Yeah. Where I really wish it could happen would be Seattle, because that's where his career, you know, that's the essence of his career right there. That's obviously not going to happen, but that would be a wonderful thing because they remember him well up there. That's where it all that's where it really happens.
All right, Eduardo Nunez, he's got the Willie Mays hat going. And Willie always said his hat was a little too small. He wanted his hat to fall off. So this guy's wearing a helmet. I don't know how he gets that thing off.
Yeah, well, yeah, Mays used to say, you know, the fans love it, you know, and he played to that. It was always a great sight, always associated with something, like, tremendously exciting. And but then Nunez, he's not Mays, but I'll tell you, Cuco made a great point. From the instant he hit one of his triples, or one of the balls, I forget which one, he was busting it out of the box. And, you know, because you just never know. It fell short. I guess it was the one that fell short by about a foot, because so many guys, even if they're hustling players, just for a moment they'll watch the thing.
Yeah.
And it might cost them. It might cost them a base. And the great thing about Nunez is that he's just out of there right now. He'll find out where it all sorts out later. If it goes out, then you break into your trot.
And there's no stopping him.
No. Yeah, he's really aggressive. And he paid off last night. I think Bochy likes that. I mean, it's probably going to cost him a couple times, but it's also going to help him. I just think it's great to see such really outstanding and dramatic and fun to watch speed on the Giants.
I think he's going to have an inside the park home run at AT&T.
Oh, yeah.
I think
absolutely.
He's going
to
hit one
shot to right center, no
right?
doubt.
And you can't stop him. There's no stop sign at third. I'm sorry. It's not happening. So, all right. It should be fun today, Bumgarner and Roark. And these two teams are going to see each other again. I just have that feeling. And it's good to see them play against each other in the scouting reports, and Trey Turner and Posey. And, you know, there's a lot of good action going on here with these two teams. So I like it.
Oh, it's great. It's a great matchup. Yeah, Turner, I love. I mean, that guy can do it all. And you know, then you got Papelbon working a 6-0 game against him. That's kind of where he's at right now. He's got to stay cool. As long as he does, they're going to be fine. He can't make any waves. And, you know, the fact is, his stuff just isn't what it was. There's not much he can say about, hey, I should be in there closing, because he's not getting the job done. So if he pipes down, they'll be fine. But, yeah, great matchup. I mean, you know, with Turner and Nunez alone make the game potentially really exciting, because Turner is so fast, I can't even believe it.
And then you got Dusty and Bochy going at it. You know, matching moves. This is must see baseball today. Honestly, I don't say that often. You know, every game is interesting, but this one has a lot of twists and turns to it.
Yeah, man. But you know, Bumgarner, of course, you know, he needs a good outing. I strongly suspect he'll have a very good one. I'm not sure Harper's going to be in there after yesterday. He looked like he hurt his lower leg.
Yeah, he's not. He's a stiff neck today.
Stiff neck. Jeez, whatever. Something's going on with that guy. But you know, the Bumgarner Worth will be great. Bumgarner Turner will be great. The whole thing. There's so many. I guess Belt will be hitting third again.
Let's see. I got the lineup here. Yeah,
Span,
Pagan, Belt, Posey, Crawford, Nunez, Panic, Blanco took the four, Golden Sombrero last night, and Bumgarner. And then the other side, Turner, Worth, Murphy, Rendon, Ramos, Espinoza, Heisey, Revere, who's, believe it or not, is 7-for-14 off Bumgarner and Roark. So, yeah, good game. This is good, and I like the managing matchups, the bullpens, and the whole thing. This is good baseball today.
My prediction today is Bumgarner is going to go deep. And his second at bat, he's going to put one on the left field seats.
All right, you're hot. Come on, if that happens, we'll have you on every night. All right. All right, have a good day.
Thanks, Marty. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That's a wonderful Bruce Jenkins. More coming up in the Sports Leader.